of the things that I found fascinating about studying the scriptures is that, and we've talked about it many times, but it deserves to be discussed each time that it's anew when it's appropriate, is that everything in the Bible was intended to be read at a particular time. The Song of Solomon was read only on the intervening Sabbath during the period of Passover. And that's because the Passover celebration is the betrothal of God to his bride, Israel, which was the type of the church, the spiritual church. So what this is a love letter from God to his bride, to his betrothed. And it only can take place at Passover. It can only take place when you've come out of the world. God can't have you if you've got all kinds of idols, if you've got all kinds of value systems that are in contradiction to what he wants. You understand? So he can't have a bride in the world. It doesn't matter whether they name the name of Christ till hell freezes over. If they've just made Jesus Christ the chief among their gods, boom, goes right down the tubes. So it's only after Passover, after the plagues, after you've escaped from the world, that you are a member of the body of Christ. It's only when you stop seeing yourself as an isolated individual. Okay? So it's a big time. It's a big deal. Now the sages say, okay, everybody didn't have a pencil.
I did.
Whose Bible is marked?
Most of these Bibles are mine.
If your Bible is not marked as the bride, chorus, and groom, raise your hand.
Is not marked.
Is not marked.
Oh, good.
Okay, get the pencils. Let's mark the Bibles. You're not going to underline. You're going to write either three. You're going to write either bride or groom or chorus. B, G, or C.
Yeah.
After each of the verses. The King James translators didn't know what this was about when they did it. And it wasn't until the more ancient documents were come about. And so each of these different sections are...
It makes a lot more sense.
Are to the bride reads it, or the chorus is reading it, or the groom is reading. And so you have to know who's reading what, otherwise it doesn't make any sense. That's why you think it's dorky. Okay. In verse 2, write bride.
What about verse 1?
Verse 1 is just a statement,
introduction.
At the end of it or before it?
Just right beside.
That's where the bride starts.
Just right beside the two, write a B.
Gotcha.
That's where she starts speaking. Okay, now on 4, in chapter, verse 4, where this...
Print or cursive?
Excuse me.
Big one.
Oh,
it's Ed's fault. So 2 and 3 is right.
Garamond or Times Roman.
2, 3, and the first half of 4, all a bride. Now, when it says we will be glad and rejoice in thee,
chorus.
That starts the chorus. And 5.
Half of 4.
We will be glad and rejoice in thee, to the upright love thee, all as chorus. Okay, now verse 5 is the bride. Verse 8 is groom.
So through 7 is the groom.
Yes.
I don't need editorializing. Verse 8 starts the groom.
I just want to make sure I'm getting a clear idea.
Verse 11 starts the chorus. Verse 12 is the bride. Verse 15 is the groom. Verse 16 is the bride. Then chapter 2, verse 2 is groom.
Chapter 2, verse 2 is groom.
Verse 3 is bride. Okay, all the way down to verse 7 is the groom.
Bride
7G. Write a G outside of 7.
Yeah.
8. Now, on 8, write a B. Now, go all the way over to 3, verse 5, and write a G.
This we can understand.
Wow.
This we can understand.
3, verse 5.
Now, write 3, verse 6, write a C.
What?
What?
Chapter 3, verse 6, write a C. Okay, chapter 4, verse 1, write a G. Chapter 4, verse 16, write a B. Chapter 5, verse 1, write a G. Verse 2, write a B. Verse 9, write a C. We don't need any editorializing right now. We're moving. We're going. We're right here. We're luging. Verse 10, write a B. Chapter 6, verse 1 is C. Verse 2 is a B. Verse 4 is a G, as in grown up.
As in gout.
Ouch.
13 is a C. Just first half of 13 is C. Then where it says, what will ye see in the Shulamite? Write a G.
What?
Right, not what?
Half of 13.
13 what?
G.
I've got the first half of
13
is
C.
Second half of 13 is G.
Okay, then we'll go all the way down to the where in verse 9 where it says that goeth down sweetly.
7-9
where it says that goeth down sweetly. Change the that to an it.
And all that's groomed.
Yeah. And the words for my beloved go after sweetly. So chapter 9, and it's
comma for after.
Yeah, but for my beloved, see, look.
This is getting
all right.
For my beloved, that phrase goes after sweetly.
So the last thing the groom says is, "And the roof of thy mouth like the best wine." Period.
That is it.
Okay, for the roof of thy mouth like the best wine. Period. Then mark a B. And it says, it goeth down sweetly for my beloved.
So we kill out for my beloved?
For my beloved goes after sweetly.
He goeth down sweetly for my beloved, causing the lips of those that are asleep to speak.
Yeah, that's a B.
Okay, so G goes from the last verse of 6 all the way through 9.
No, just the first sentence of 9, and this part of 9, and the roof of thy mouth,
and that picks up
like the best wine, period. That's, and then the next thing you say is bride. Okay? Okay, now go all the way now, the bride speaks all the way until chapter 8, verse 4, at verse 4 the groom starts. Then the verse 5, the first, the just the who is this that cometh up from the wilderness leaning upon her beloved? All that part of it is the chorus. And then I raise thee up, where it says I in verse 5, I raise thee up, starts groom. Okay, now go, you start in verse 8, starts chorus. Okay, verse 10 is B, verse 13 is G, verse 14 is B.
And we're there. That was the Song of Solomon.
Now, we'll study it further next year.
Now to the after-meal entertainment.
Okay, listen up. I'm going to tell who's the bride. Okay, listen. Okay, the ones that read for the bride portion are Harry and Ed.
Yes,
and Daryl.
Yes.
Go on, never.
Harry, Ed, Daryl, and Burnett. Read the bride. Okay.
Individually or all together?
All together.
In a very high voice.
Harry, Ed,
one, two.
Okay. All the rest of the guys read the groom's part.
We're lumberjacks.
And all the women read the chorus. The Song of Songs has always been regarded by the sages as an allegory depicting the love of Israel for God. It was a vivid record of the loving intercourse between Israel and her Lord from the Exodus on to Messianic times. The sages say that the entire world, from the beginning until now, does not outweigh the day in which the Song of Solomon was given or understood by, really was understood by Israel. It was sung, as I said, in the intervening. It was sung in the temple, in the intervening Sabbath during the Passover.
Say that again. During the intervening Passover.
No. Intervening. Sabbath. The Sabbath is this. The Passover is 8 days. What they call a Passover. So there has to be, by definition, Sabbath. A Sabbath in that portion of it. Proverbs say, if you seek for her as silver and search for her as a hidden treasure, then shall thou understand the fear of the Lord. Well, and the sages say this is where you search for her and find her, is in the Song of Solomon. Wow. Again, zeal leads to cleanliness, yields to purity, yields to holiness, yields to humility, yields to fear of sin, yields to saintliness, yields to the Holy Spirit, yields to the resurrection, yields to Messiah. Devout writers, both Jew and Christian, have always expressed their love to God in the sensuous imagery of Song of Solomon, and traces the gradual growth of true love in its various stages and various nuances until it finds its consummation in wedlock. The Song of Solomon is in three parts. The showing the redemption is in three parts, just like from Egypt, redeemed from Egypt, redeemed from Babylon, and redeemed from Edom. Egypt is the world, Babylon is religion, and Edom is the flesh. And so we have to be redeemed from all three. Where it talks about, we'll see, it says in 4:16, it says, "Awake, O North," because the burnt offering was killed on the north side of the altar. "And come, O south," is because the peace offering was killed on the south portion of the altar. And the idea of the winds in the garden were the tent of the assembly. They let the spices flow as the altar of incense. "Let my beloved come into his garden," is the Shekinah glory on the mercy seat, "and eat of his delicious fruits," as are all of the offerings as you understand them. And it talks about kissing, and it says, "By the kiss he will take away the stony heart, and by the kiss he will melt your stony heart." And the kiss is as the touching of the wings of the cherubim. The wings of the cherubim face each other on the mercy seat. This is one of the great mysteries. And the wings of the cherubim override the mercy seat. And the place underneath that, underneath their wings, sitting in the mercy seat of God, is called the oracle of God. And that's why it says, "Whenever every man speak as the oracle of God." You speak only and always from under the wings of the cherubim. And there's one of the cherubim is male and the other is female. And if you ever deny your sexuality, if you deny, then it says, the wings of the cherubim turn from each other, and their wings can't provide the altar or the canopy for the altar. And the reason that's said is, it's because a lot of religion tries to cause you to deny the meaning of sex and abstinence, and you know, you can't. That's what you try to make religion if you deny the Song of Solomon. Okay. The sages say, how could such an evil man, such as Solomon, write such a book and father David? And the answer is that how can the same way that the thorny bush can father the rose? When those in the great Sanhedrin argued against Solomon as to whether or not this should be included in the scriptures, and there were many, many arguments. The scripture was quoted, "Touch not mine anointed, and do my holy prophets no harm."
So they considered him to be a bad boy?
Oh, yes. Solomon's considered to be a very bad boy.
Mr. Concubine. Oh, I know, but David had his share too. I mean,
no, he didn't.
Did he?
there's a thing we'll see in here about that something is something, then it changes to something else, and then it returns to something. And it's the idea, this is a cup, and spiritually this isn't a cup, we see through it, then it is a cup. Well, Solomon was king, then was subject, then was king again. Solomon was wise, and then foolish, then was wise again. Solomon was rich, and then poor, and then rich again. And the reason this had to take place is because we've talked so often that if someone came to you and said that riches were vanity and he'd never had 2 cents in his pocket, then he wouldn't be worthy of being listened to. But on the contrary, Solomon, who was never the richest man in the universe, then when he said riches are vanity, then you better listen to him. If someone came to you and said all of political power and all of change was a vanity, was stupid, and he'd never so much as voted, then don't listen to him. He's an idiot. If someone comes to you and has experienced it all and still says there's vanity of vanities, then listen to him. Understand? This, a man that took, does anybody know how much a siyah is? It's like, I don't know the exact amount, but it's like the amount of wheat that would come from an acre of land. And that sages say that if you took all the wheat that would come, or the finest wheat that would come from an acre of land, and you keep refining it and refining it and refining it until it's turned into one small cake, but it was the best. That's what the Song of Solomon is like to the scriptures.
How do you spell Seah?
S-E-A-H. And so likewise, is that what the Song of Solomon is to all the wisdom of the world? All the wisdom of the world is contained in the Song of Solomon. The scriptures say that in this context that all of the writings are holy. And there's great arguments in the Talmud that says, since all of these writings, if all of these writings are holy, the Song of Solomon is the holy of holies. Okay, you getting to be and see? Let us read. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's.
Aren't we supposed to read it all together?
He's already in trouble.
We're going to read it together.
All right, here we go.
Cue.
One, two, three, go.
Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth.
For the love is better than wine.
Wait. Forget everything I said. Forget everything I said.
I think Jackie has won.
Okay. Forget everything I said. Everything I said. All right?
Should we stand and
sing? Yeah, fast forward.
Should kneel and say?
Should we stand and read?
No, what we're going to make is we'll just have one. Jackie.
No, she did
three.
It.
We'll have.
Let Ruth do it.
Okay, we'll have Tylene read the bride part.
Yeah, Tylene.
900 boys. 100 brides.
Sherry, where's Sherry?
No, not Sherry.
Yeah, there's an idea.
It's Sherry, too. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine.
Okay, You keep going.
Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is an ointment poured forth. Therefore, do the virgins love thee? Draw me. I can't read this. Draw me. We will run after thee. Thy king hath brought me out his chambers into his chambers.
Okay. Of course, we will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. They are right, love thee. Right. You don't want to do it?
I do.
Okay.
I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Israel, or Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me, because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions?
Okay. In the tense of Kedar is really important. It represents everything that we are talking about. The tense of Kedar, all of you know that Kedar was one of, he was the one whom, he's one of son of one of the sons of Ishmael.
Yes, Kedar.
Huh?
I was just thinking it sounded like it was almost a Hagar or something.
Yeah, it was son of Ishmael. But the tents of Kedar in the desert, the Bedouin, their tents were, on the outside they were just terrible. There were huge tents that were sometimes as, you know, like two or three of these houses together in terms of square feet. But they were ugly and black and gunky looking on the outside. But when you went inside, there was fine silk and precious jewels. And it's the opposite of the world. The bride of Christ is always as the tents of Kedar. There's suffering and problems outside that anybody can see, but inside are the precious jewels and the veils and that which is precious in the sight of God. Amen? All right.
Who's going to be
the groom? Is going to be Ed's. Is that a good groom?
Ed's good.
It's
all right.
No, let's have Burnett will be the good groom.
If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way before thy footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents.
I have compared thee, O my
love. No.
You're stepping on the
right.
Take three.
Start off with shepherd's tents. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold.
Okay. Why was the bride compared to the horses in Pharaoh's chariot?
Strength.
She's
spirited.
But can be checked in line.
What?
But can be kept in line with the brethren
command. Man's strength.
Yeah. I don't like that part. Spirited. I like spirited.
This is a grocery store.
The first reason. There are four reasons. The first reason was that they could endure. They could run in the desert, they could run for long, long times, and they endured.
The horses.
The second reason was that the bloodline was pure. There was no, the horses in Pharaoh's chariot, the horses that he bred for the chariots was a pure bloodline from years and years and years of careful, selected breeding, almost as careful as in Israel when they bred the sheep for having sacrifices without blemish. So were the horses in Pharaoh's chariots were this pure bloodline. The other reason was that they were spirited. They did not they had the idea of the word meekness in the Greek. The horses had the same sense. Meekness is to God, meekness is a tiger walking through the room with all power, and he doesn't take your throat off. That's meekness. Well, spirited has the potential to just run as the wind and to let no man on the face of the earth do anything. They could have destroyed every chariot that was there, but they chose that by obedience they were in harness. And the other thing is, it didn't matter, they were the same whether they were on the desert or in the showplace. They weren't a different person or a different horse in different environments. Well, that's why the bride is compared to the horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Understand?
Yeah, I knew there were Pharaoh's horses.
Huh?
And they had great legs. Well, they knew they were Pharaoh's horses.
That's what was in this part.
Good angles.
Where's the letter?
Never seen a third
course.
We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver.
While the king sitteth at his table, my spikener sendeth forth the smell thereof. A bundle of mirth is my well beloved unto me. Oh, what is it?
Mirth.
Oh,
mirth.
Mirth. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of campfire in the vineyards of Engedi.
Okay, who knows what camphor is?
Campfire.
Campfire.
Henna flowers.
Camphor.
Camphor.
Camphor was the cypress trees, which were, there's a whole other idea, but I won't go into that. That's
excellent. In Gedi's Africa, right?
The rather, huh?
In Gedi's in Africa?
In Gedi was the hiding place where David hid out while he was being sought. So, in the vineyards of En Gedi.
So it's like sanctuary.
Sanctuary.
Oh, wow.
My beloved is unto me, and who's reading this? The bride. My beloved is unto me as the cluster of camphor, of again, cypress. And the vineyards are hiding out in En Gedi, the groom.
Behold,
thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes.
Behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant. Also, our bed is green. I guess that's the... No.
Please go reserve.
The beams of our house are cedar and our rafters of fir. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys.
What's the green?
As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters.
As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love.
He brought me to his banqueting house. His banner over me was
love. I thought it went to the groom.
It falls for us all.
It doesn't
music.
No.
There's another one. Stay with me, flagons. Comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me.
I charge ye, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love till he please.
Now, that is the most mind-blowing thing that you can hear. If you don't understand anything else, you don't want to wake him up at the wrong time.
Why is he charging them by the deer and the...
Well, it's just a way of saying, I charge you by the sun, or I charge you by the moon, or...
That's
pretty
weird. Okay. What does it mean?
Well, you know, that you may want... He's not very interested in what you want. Oh, I want him to get up and come and rescue me. I want him to do this. I want him to do that. Well, if he gets up the wrong time, you're dead meat.
So, this is like patience.
This is like a plea for patience.
It's a command.
What?
I got a feeling something else.
Charles said, that's why I don't bother.
What?
It's even worse to wake up Harry.
All right, bride.
The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is gone, is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes, spoil the vines, spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes.
My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Until the day break, and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Beather. By night on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loved. I sought him, but I found him not.
Wait a minute. Does everybody know what the mountains of Beather are? No. The way he talks about that?
What is it?
Of deer. The mountains, they're mountains of division, and it's things that divide. And so Christ in this metaphor is like a mountain sheep that just dropped, that nothing divides. He runs, you know, for us that walk the path, we'd have to go all the way down to the valley and all the way back up to the top, and he just jumps across. He jumps over that which apparently divides. So that's what...
He has dominion over everything that comes to
him. Yeah, but the idea is that we don't have to see division.
Oh, okay.
We would see Jesus. We don't see division.
I will rise now and go about this.
I lost my place.
Verse 2.
All night.
Okay.
I will rise now and go about the city and the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little, but I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go, until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceiveth me. I charge ye.
I charge ye, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the roes and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love, till he please.
Now you remember, this is like the second time that's been said.
Getting important.
Why is the groom saying that instead of the bride? Don't wake him. Wake him not.
He's talking about his father.
No, it's not.
Yeah, he please.
Oh, the father. Yeah, it's talking about the father's time. Yeah, he pleases.
Okay.
The big he.
It's nothing is done in the son's time or the daughter's time. It's done in the father's time.
As much as the daughter does.
Yeah. Chorus. Hot. The chorus gets a big part. Are we ready, chorus?
Who is this?
Ready.
Wait. Count of three. One, two. Who is this?
All right.
One, two, three. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all potters of the merchant? Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 80 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh, because of the fear in the night. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it of purple, the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon, whom his mother crowned him in the day of his espousal, and in the day of the gladness of his heart.
Changing the text.
Hell out of this group.
Smack him, won't we? Just...
Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is a flock of goats.
Dove's eyes within thy locks.
That appear from Mount Gilead.
Have you ever seen? No. You got. Have you ever seen the? Wait a minute. Have you ever seen the picture of the bride?
From
the Wittenberg door.
With the little ring on her neck, it will kill her.
The Wittenberg door did a picture of the bride from here, and it's it's a picture of the bride for our literalist friend, and it's
got little sheepy hair.
It's got sheep hanging down for hair. And,
The teeth.
Sheep, her teeth. Towers for breasts. but it was funny. In the bottom of it said, "For our literalist friends." Okay. Where are you?
My feet, 4:2. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn. Which came up from the washing. Gary, shut up. Whereof everyone bare twins, and none is barren among them.
That's Job's favorite scripture. Right?
My lips are like a thread of scarlet, and my speech is comely. My temples are like a piece of pomegranate within my locks. My neck is like the Tower of David, builded from an armory. Whereon there hang a thousand bucklers, all shields of mighty men. My two breasts are like young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse, with me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana, from the top of Shinir and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from mountains of the leopards. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. My plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits and camphor and spikenard. Spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all the trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters and streams from Lebanon.
Awake, O north wind, and come, thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out, that my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits.
I am coming to my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink. You drink abundantly, O beloved.
I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hands by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh on the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love.
What is thy beloved more than another beloved? O thou fairest among women, what is thy beloved more than another beloved, that thou so dost so charge us?
My beloved is white and moody. Ready? The chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with oil, set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with beryl. His belly is as bright ivory, overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem.
Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may see him with thee?
My beloved is gone down into his garden, to the bed of spices, to feed in the gardens and to gather lilies. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies.
Thou art beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah. Comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. Turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Thy hair is a flock of goats that appear from Gilead. Thy teeth are as a flock of sheep which go up from the washing, whereof everyone beareth twins, and there is not one barren among them. as the piece of the pomegranate are thy temples within thy locks. There are 80 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughter saw her and blessed her, yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? I went down into the garden of nuts to see the fruits of the valley, and to see whether the wine flourished and the pomegranates budded. Or ever I was aware, my soul may be like the chariots of Amenabedin.
Return.
As it were, the company of two armies. What will you see in the Shulamite? As it were, the company of two armies. How beautiful are thy feet with shoes, O princess's daughter. The joints of thy thighs are like jewels, the work of the hands of a cunning workman. Thy navel is like a round goblet, which wanteth not liquor. Thy belly is like an heap of wheat set about with lilies. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins. Thy neck is a tower of ivory. Thine eyes like the fish pools in Heshbon. By the gate of Beth-Rabim. My nose is as the tower of Lebanon, which looketh toward Damascus. Thine head upon thee is like Carmel, and the hair of thine head like purple. The king is held in the galleries. How fair and how pleasant art thou, O love, for delights. This thy stature is like a palm tree, and thy breast to clusters of grapes. I said, I will go up to the palm tree. I will take hold of the boughs thereof. Now also thy breast shall be as clusters of the vine, and the smell of thy nose like apples, and the roof of thy mouth like the best wine of my beloved.
No, and the roof of thy mouth like the best wine, period.
No.
We mark that out, man.
It goeth down, it says it goeth down sweetly for my beloved.
Going down sweetly.
No.
That's
the
wrong part.
That's the wrong.
That's why I was stopping.
For goeth down sweetly, causing the lips of
For
my beloved.
No, it goeth down sweetly for my beloved, causing the lips of those that are asleep.
It goeth down sweetly, causing the lips of those that are asleep to speak.
Okay, now. It's really, that's a real critical issue in terms of understanding.
Right.
Because what happens, the wine, the understanding of the wine causes you to speak even though you're asleep. I mean, and it, then the speaking, your own speaking causes you to wake up. That's the mystery. I believe, therefore I speak. As you speak, you awake from the sleep that the world is under.
What does his help in the galleries mean?
And that's going to take another. Save that one.
Sorry.
Okay, we need to hurry up.
Okay. I am my beloved's and his desires toward me. Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field, let us lodge in the villages, or let us get up early in the vineyards, let us see if the vine flourish. Whether the tender grape appear and the pomegranates bud forth, there will I give thee my love. The mandrakes give a smell, and at our gates are all manner of pleasant fruits, new and old, which I have laid up for thee, O my beloved. O thou wert as my brother that sucked the breast of my mother, when I should find thee without, I would kiss thee, yea, I should not be despised. I would lead thee and bring thee into my mother's house, who would instruct me. I would cause thee to drink of spiced wine of the juice of my pomegranate. His left hand should be under my head, and his right hand should embrace me. I charge you.
No.
I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that you stir not up, nor wake my love until he please.
Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved?
I raised thee up under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth that bare thee. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench its love, neither can the floods drown it. A man would give all the substance of his house for love, he would utterly be condemned.
Contemned. Contemned. Means despised.
We have no sister, and she
hath no breast. What shall we do for our sister when she shall be spoken for? Shall we build a wall? We build a wall
for our house of the door. If she be a door, we close her with boards of cedar.
I am a wall, and my breast like towers. Then said I in his eyes, as one that found favor. Solomon had a vineyard of Bahalamon. He let out the vineyard unto keepers. Everyone for the fruit thereof was to bring 1,000 pieces of silver. My vineyard, which is mine, is before me. Thou, O Solomon, must have 1,000, and those that keep the fruit thereof, 200.
True.
Thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken to thy voice. Cause me to hear it.
Make haste, my beloved, and be thou like a roe, or to a young part upon the mountains of spices.
Okay.
Yeah.
We will hopefully understand that more as time continues.